you know, everything in the scriptures, even though it's 5 to 2,000 years old, applies to us. Especially this passage today. It amazes me how history repeats itself. You know, so in our text today, Luke informs us that this is the second attempt of the leaders of Israel to rid themselves of the apostles and their teaching. They threaten the apostles, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name," and they were referring to the name of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. You know, it's interesting that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ, and they thought they were in control instead of God. Why do the Jewish leaders, both the Sadducees and the Pharisees, which make up the Sanhedrin, you know, these two groups were always at odds with each other, always struggling to see who could have the most authority and power. And yet, what we see here is they're united. They are united in desperately trying anything and everything to erase the fact that Jesus ever existed. As we learn from the Gospel of Luke, the Jewish leaders had a desire to be looked up to be in charge. To have power over the nation. They often would pray long prayers so people would notice, or and they wore long robes and walked around the community so that people would notice them. If they could be seen to have authority when it came to the religion of the Jews, then that also gave them the authority to make up the rules, to control the nation. And by doing so, they thought they could ensure their own prosperity and fame. And their fame is preserved in the Bible, but quite frankly, it's not the fame they had desired. See, having control and making up a multitude of laws in an effort to control the populace, does it not sound like what is happening in our own day by our own government? The Sadducees sought fame, and history has determined their fame just like it's history has determined the fame of many government leaders in the past. Their desire was for immorality in history. And yet, history has shown that they were self-serving and they had evil intentions. Now the apostles come along and they have this new way, the way of Jesus Christ to have a relationship with God, and it completely pulls the rug out from underneath the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So to maintain their authorities, these leaders of Israel must rid the country of this teaching. To maintain control, they had to stop these followers of what's called the way and those who believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They again command the apostles to stop, and they think they have the power to do that. It is the same for us here in the United States. Leadership, in order to maintain authority and control, is trying to institute multitudes of laws and end up calling good evil and evil good. And quite frankly, we're seeing the change. Our government would love to silence the remnant church. Like in the early church, the remnant church today must stand up for God's truth, and by doing so, it will bring persecution. So the prime directive I saw in this passage of scripture that I want you to lock on to, and if you walk away with nothing else, walk away with this. When men forbid what God has commanded, or command what God has forbidden, believers have but one option: to obey God rather than men. Let me pray for our time as we go into God's Word. Father, we just lift up our church as a family, as a community, that we would be bold for the gospel and that you would give us the courage to be bold and to stand up against persecution. And Father, I ask the same thing for us as individual families, as individuals, that wherever we go, work, sports, hobbies, just as we live our life, you would give us the courage to be faithful. Amen. So as we begin this passage, we need to understand that no matter what authorities may be in our lives, whether that be the government or parents or teachers or bosses or any other human authority, we must realize that all true authority belongs to God, and we are to obey God over all others. Even though there may be some earthly powers that think they have ultimate authority, as history has constantly proven, the only true everlasting authority belongs to God. This passage explains to us then, when earthly power and heavenly power are in conflict, our allegiance belongs to no one else but God the Creator. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 5. That's pretty much where we're going to be parked all morning as I talk. And if you'll go to verse 17, you can follow me as I read. It says, "But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him," that is the party of the Sadducees, "and filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, the angel of God opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.' And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach." Well, the main issue we're seeing here is the Sadducees' authority is being severely challenged. And this is why Luke tells us that they were filled with jealousy. The apostles were continuing to disobey the Sadducees and preach Jesus Christ and healing people in Jesus' name. And it was the apostles and Christ that were becoming more and more popular with the people. And because of this, and because of the gospel being preached, many people were coming to the saving faith in Jesus Christ. So, the long-held power structure is suddenly, and really in some ways violently, being challenged and shaken and taken away from the Sadducees. To help curb the opinion of the people towards the apostles, the Sadducees come up with a scheme. They say, "We're going to arrest them. We're going to publicly arrest them. We're going to put them in prison. We're going to let everybody know." And so by doing this, it will discredit them, and public opinion will come back to us as the Sadducees. In reality, the Jewish leaders were nothing more than cheap politicians who thrive on popularity and polls and people's opinions. It's interesting how history repeats itself. When mankind does not learn from history, when mankind does not keep their focus on God, we see this power-seeking and manipulative behavior today, even in our own country. The Sadducees sought power and control. And yet, if you read history, they disappeared in 70 AD and are never heard from again. Isn't that interesting? All their efforts to do away with Christ and secure their own future. But you see, God's plans won't be thwarted by men. In fact, it would be this public arrest that the Sadducees did that would come back to haunt them. What they intended to use to humiliate the apostles, God uses to humiliate them. The Sadducees were wrong about a number of things. They didn't believe in the existence of angels. And yet, when we read this passage, it was an angel that freed the apostles and gave them God's command. The Sadducees actually said only a fool would believe God created heavenly messengers. And yet today, because of history, we see who the fools are. So the angel frees the apostles, tells them to go stand in the temple and speak to all the people the words of life. See, and the Sadducees are locked into the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and they discount everything else. Unlike the Pharisees, the Sadducees deny the immortality of the soul and the bodily resurrection after death. So you can see the resurrection of Jesus took the teachings of the Sadducees and just turned them on their head. And then the Sadducees weren't happy about that. See, when one reads the history of religion, history of the church, history of denominations, it becomes apparent that many of these were started by men seeking power for themselves, and in order to justify that, they made up laws and rules and doctrines and to justify their behavior. However, history, again, exposes these false efforts because the truth of God cannot be overridden by man. Today, 2,000 years after this event with the Sadducees are proved to be false. By God's truth, we are able to observe the falseness of the Sadducees. And if you understand the Bible and God's truth, you will be able to determine the falsehood of people in our own time. Both political leaders, false religions, and even those within what is called Christianity, you will be able to tell using the Word of God as the standard those who are false. So let me be crystal clear. Hear these words. Our sovereign God accomplishes His purpose over and over and over all through history, no matter who it looks like at the moment that has authority. Men come and go. God is forever. God is the ultimate authority. May we as a church, may we as families, may we as individuals be like the apostles who, without regard to cost, were more concerned about God's truth and glory than what the Jewish leaders wanted to do or were concerned about. They looked to God and not the power of the leaders that thought they had control of the apostles and absolutely did not. It was by God's will that they were freed to preach the gospel to the lost. As we see here in Acts, and I hope as we believe, there truly is a great freedom in having allegiance to God alone. See, the temporary things of this world are exactly that. They're temporary. Current leaders of our country and leaders throughout the world are exactly that. Temporary. God is forever. The Sadducees tried, just like many men of power throughout history, to silence the preaching of the gospel, but God's will always prevails. God sends His angels to free the apostles, and He instructs them. He says, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. So let me ask you, beloved, have you let the world invade your life? Have you let the world come into your life to the point that you are not speaking the words of truth to those who don't know Christ? See, true freedom, it sounds contradictory, but true freedom is found with being a slave to Christ. Isn't that interesting? And when we fully give our lives to Christ, then we find peace, we find joy, and we find a relationship with God no matter what's going on in this crazy world. as we study this passage, let me ask you, this passage in history, whose authority is really drawn into question? Certainly not God's, but yes, the Sadducees. It was the Sadducees. The apostles were freed, and the Sadducees denied, but no doubt the freed apostles were preaching. And they were preaching what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and His gospel. Well, they denied the resurrection, right? So do you see, my brothers and sisters, that God always has the last word. And if we study history up to this very day, it is still true. To fear God brings freedom and blessing. And the apostles were the perfect example of a group of men who cared more about God than anything else. They were deeply driven. They had a deep desire to please God and praise Him, and they did not care about the political structure that was trying to control them. See, they did what's right in God's eyes, regardless of anything else. And this brought them true freedom. So, let me ask, how free are you? The Sadducees, on the other hand, were not motivated by a fear of God, but by fear of man. Their concern at this point was not what was the right thing to do, but it was about how do we keep the people placated and how do we keep control. And the balance of those two things creates fear of losing control. And so if you'll read with me now at verse 21, it says, "Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the senate of the people of Israel, which is the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and sent to the prison to have the apostles brought to him. But when the officers came, they did not find the apostles in the prison, so they returned and reported, 'We found the prison securely locked, and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside.' And when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them and wondered what this would come to. And someone came to them and said, 'Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' And then the captain with the officers went and brought them, not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people." See, the Sadducees had a preoccupation with authority and popularity. People began turning to Christ and turning away from their man-made laws and turning away from their authority. This is when the trouble begins. Now, all the Sanhedrin are called into council because they're going to make a quick ruling, right? The Sadducees are what we would call kind of a conflict of interest, right? Because they're the ones that are afraid of losing their authority, and they're going to be judge and jury in what we could call the Sadducees versus the apostles court case. Then there's another bit of irony. Luke gives us this. He says, "Everyone is called in for a quick trial with a predetermined guilty charge, but no one can find where those that are going to be convicted are." I mean, they're not in the prison the night before. Can you imagine the embarrassment that probably turned anger for these Jewish rulers? And we have the same issue today, right? The media is trying to control how people perceive what is going on in our world. And yet, the truth is an interesting thing. It always finds a way of making itself to the surface and embarrassing them. And the political leaders from all over the world often are exposed to what they really believe and what they're trying to do. This is why there is freedom in seeking truth of God and not the transitionary truth of mankind. So the Sadducees are frustrated. They're trying to figure out what's going on. And in comes the report, look, they're out in the temple preaching. And then Luke reports that the captain of the temple guard returns to the apostles who are teaching to bring them in. And he was the very one that was responsible for the night before putting them in prison. And so he's got to go round them up again. But it says he did so gently because he was afraid of the people. They were afraid if they just strong-armed all the apostles again, the people would break out in a riot. And so, you know, the captain persuades them to come to the trial. And they say, look, we arrested you because you're not doing what we told you to do. They think they have authority. They think they can control. And they can't. See, the only way to have a relationship with God, the creator of the universe, is through Jesus Christ. Not through idols, not through laws, not through rituals, but Jesus Christ. The Jewish leaders did what they do, and they did it because they were afraid of the people and afraid of what the people might do. See, the Sadducees were more enslaved than the apostles when they were put into prison. And how quickly did the apostles obey God's messenger, the angel? Man, they turned around and just did exactly what he said. They said, go to the temple. Daybreak, they went to the temple and they started preaching. They reflect. I don't know about you, but it made me reflect. How quickly do I obey God? How quickly can I at times let the world's influence creep into my life and negatively affect my obedience to God and my relationship to God? You know, it made me think back and reevaluate some of the things that I have done or allowed. Here's a clear contrast. Apostles feared God and not man. On the other hand, the leader and not God. So, in the final section of this passage, we observe Peter with the apostles and the failed attempt of the Sadducees. Read with me at verse 27. And when they had brought the apostles in, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. And they're talking about the name of Jesus Christ. And yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, Peter didn't bring the blood of Christ upon him. They brought the blood of Christ on them. And then Peter and the apostles answered. And it's interesting, if you look at that, it says Peter and the apostles answered. So I don't know if they said this in unison, but it had to have an impact. They looked at the Sadducees and said, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So notice the conviction of Peter and the apostles in verse 29. You know, they're not looking at the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the guards and saying, oh, okay, what do we say? Apparently, in unison, they looked the Sadducees right in the eye and said, guys, we must obey God rather than men. And Peter's basically telling these people, we're not going to listen to you. We're going to fear God. appointed and not by you. And we will not stop teaching and we will not stop filling the city with the good news of Jesus Christ. You complete opposition to what God has commanded us to do, and we will not listen to you because you will not listen to God. Peter doesn't stop there. He looks at the council of the Sadducees in the eye and he says, the God of our fathers, the ones that you claim, the God you claim to believe in, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one that you should know about if you really studied the scriptures, that God, your God that you say you believe in, is the one that raised Jesus Christ. And what did you do? You not only killed him, but after God raised him, you discounted him. And God, not you, has exalted him at his right hand to make him leader, Savior, Lord, and to give repentance and forgiveness of sins in Israel. Remember in the old sacrament of sacrifices, it covered sin. It did not forgive sin. Only Jesus Christ can forgive sin. And here is the leadership who are murderers with blood on their hands. And they think they have the power to execute the apostles just as they did Jesus Christ. And God is saying, now they will do what I told them to do. You know, another way in which the Sadducees' credibility was brought into question was they, you know, this whole teaching of Jesus Christ on the cross and the resurrection brought guilt to them. No, you know, really, Peter didn't have to say it was you that were responsible for killing Jesus. The people already knew that. See, the Jewish leaders, by their selfish, self-seeking glorification, killed the God of salvation. And the Sadducees, you know, they said, we're the authority, but did they ever do a miracle? Did God ever authenticate what they preached or taught? No. Everything that Jesus taught was authenticated by God. Everything the apostles taught was authenticated by God through miracles and signs and wonders. Luke points out another contrast. The religious leaders arrested the apostle, but God releases them. The Sadducees desire control, but in reality, they have very little control. They were so concerned about control and authority that they were manipulating everything, and yet in 70 AD, they disappear from history and are never heard from again. Over and over, people are watching the leadership of this country doing exactly what was in their best interest and not in the people's best interest. What was in their best interest and was not obedient to God. Paul explains another difference in verse 32. It says, we are witnesses to these things. So is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. Here's another key difference. Peter is saying, look, God has given us this precious gift of the Holy Spirit who has empowered us to do these miracles and be obedient to God. You guys don't have the Holy Spirit. And the truth is, you're spiritually dead. So who's in control? God tells the apostles to preach the message of life, and the Jews have no way to shut them up. God commands the apostles to preach. The leaders command them to be silent. The result is the apostles preach the gospel, and Jerusalem is being filled with new converts, new believers to Jesus Christ. And those believers are our heritage 2,000 years later. The Sadducees' heritage is to be wiped from history in less than 40 years. So who do we really fear? The Bible is absolutely filled with examples of those who suffered from fear of man. And yet the Sadducees do not learn from their own prophets of God. It is God who called and God who gave the people of Israel his words through the prophet. And yet the Sadducees disregard all the teachings of the prophets in order to drive their own agenda. And in order to settle that in, they make up multitudes of man-made laws in an effort to control people. And it doesn't work. It never has. It's exactly what's happening in our country right now. Controlling the populace through multitudes of regulations and laws. And it's not working. We can see the results. Our economy is collapsing. People are at unrest. And it is not good. This brought to my mind the mindset of the Sadducees and leaders today. It brought to my mind King Saul. You know, King Saul tried to convince himself he was obeying God even when he was being disobedient. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read the conversation between Samuel the prophet and King Saul. And so it says, Samuel said, "Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go devote to the destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed." That means gone. Nothing left, right? So in 19, then it says, "Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the soil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on a mission on which the Lord had sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction." As he says this, he's beginning to think, you know what? Maybe I didn't do everything the Lord told me to do. Because now in verse 21 it says, and he makes excuses, right? He doesn't say, "I blew it." He says, "But the people took the spoil of the sheep and the oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilead." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." Okay. Oh. And it says, you know, "For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and the presumption is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." See, how many times have we seen in all sorts of religions, including Christianity, people make a show of doing sacrifices because they want everybody to notice. Or they make a sacrifice of whatever it is just because they want to please their spouse or somebody else. But it's always a heart issue. So here the problem we have is Saul is trying to blame the people for his sin. Don't we live in a world right now, in a country right now, where everybody's a victim instead of taking responsibility for their own behaviors? And so it says then, Saul said, "So I've lost my place." I mean, Samuel said to Saul, Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return me with me that I may bow before the Lord. And Samuel says to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. What a serious sin that is. And the Lord, because of that, has rejected you from being king over Israel. See, it's always a heart issue. If you say you believe something and yet your life is something else, what's that make you? A hypocrite. Saul was a hypocrite. And so, you know, he feared the voice of the people. He feared the people more than he feared God. He was like, what do I do to be king? Well, if he had just worried about pleasing God, he would have still been king. Let me give you just one more example of this kind of behavior out of the New Testament. It's found in John's Gospel, chapter 12. Jesus has been teaching the truth of God, and his truth has been validated by God through miracles. And at the beginning of chapter 12, verse 36, it says, when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe. This is what we were looking at last week. They wanted apostles to do more and more signs. They could have done a bazillion signs and they still wouldn't have believed. And so that the word was spoken by the prophet Isaiah had been fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe. Therefore, they could not believe. For again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would have to heal them. There is a point when God says he's had enough. Just like with Pharaoh, he allowed Pharaoh to have the hardness of his heart and he hardened it even more. And so nevertheless, many of the authorities believed in Jesus, but the fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it. So they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Does that describe anybody you know? These are just two examples out of a number that come from the Bible of people who, even though they claim to be holy, even though they claim to believe, they love the world more than they love God. See, Jesus was the man God, and he gives us the example of fearing God and not fearing man. The apostles followed Jesus and with an example of fearing God and not man. My beloved, what will we fear? What is one of the greatest hindrances as believers in today's world to our consistently being obedient to God? What do you truly believe? Well, to answer that question, I'd like to take you to Matthew chapter 22, verse 15. It says, then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But it was lip service. They weren't sincere. They were trying to placate so they could trap God. My beloved, then what is it in this world? what opinions of this world, what things of this world sway you and keep you from having your focus on Jesus Christ? Is it political leaders? Is it entertainers? Is it business leaders? Or is it pastors and churches that don't preach the Word of God? Do you act based on what you perceive, like King Saul? Because the only right path to live in an obedience is the Word of God. My beloved, if opinions and people drive your behavior, you will never consistently obey God, because sometimes God's will is not popular. If you are worried about what others think, you will never fully obey God and give your heart to Him. Unfortunately, I have seen this far too often in men I've met in my life, because they're motivated by the world. I've even seen this motivation in pastors. All they do is try to figure out how not to offend people and how to keep the pews in their church full. And in doing so, they end up offending God, their Creator. So let me ask, what drives your actions? Peer pressure? Are you only a confessed Christian depending on the crowd you are with? Let me close by reading Proverbs 29 at verse 25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Many seek the face of a ruler, but it is from the Lord that a man gets justice. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteousness, but the one whose way is straight is an abomination to the wicked. My beloved, you have a choice every day in your life. Do you follow God? Are you obedient to God? Or do you let the world and mankind creep into your heart? For me, in my house, we choose the Lord. We choose to fear the Lord and not man. How about you? What decision will you make this day? Father, we just thank you for the time in your word. We thank you for your apostle Peter, for all that he teaches us, all that you have given him. Father, you are forever faithful. Help us be consistently faithful and obedient to you. And we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.